Two fellows went out fishing in the Florida Everglades. George and Charlie, they were fishing on a small creek when out of a dense thicket of grass charged the biggest, meanest alligator anyone had ever seen. Standing still in fear, George said to his companion, "He looks hungry. What are we going to do?" Charlie started backing away and said, "I'm going to run for it." "Are you crazy?" George said. "Alligators have been clocked at 30 miles an hour. We'll never outrun him." "I don't have to outrun him," Charlie replied. "I only have to outrun you." In today's gospel, the apostles go fishing. The Lord had told them to go to Galilee and to wait for him, and then he would appear. He would reveal himself, resurrected, and meet them up around the Sea of Galilee. Well, they were waiting. They waited a day. They waited a couple days. St. Peter got bored very easily, okay? So St. Peter got so bored, he says, "I'm going to go fishing." The other apostles say, "Well, there's nothing else to do. We're supposed to wait here, but we might as well go fishing as well." So they all go fishing. It says Peter got into the boat. And Bishop Sheen, in his commentary on this, said, "By the way, where did St. Peter get that boat? He had told Jesus he had given up everything for following him." Bishop Sheen says he saved the boat for a rainy day. Just in case this thing didn't work out with the Lord, he always could fall back on his fishing career. So Peter gets into the boat, but notice they don't have Jesus. They're on their own. It says they caught nothing. Isn't that the case? Without Christ, we have nothing. We are nothing in our life without our Lord Jesus Christ. Without Christ, we are nothing. We come up empty, In fact, they were frustrated, they were angry. So if you ever get frustrated, ever get angry, it's because we're lacking something. We're lacking a true personal relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. So the apostles, because they were trying to do something of their own, they were doing their will and not God's will. So whenever we try to do our will, we come up with nothing. We come up empty. When we do God's will, turn our life over to Christ, have that personal relationship with Christ, then we have everything. So they have nothing. They're frustrated. They're angry. They were caught nothing all night long. Not a bite. No fish whatsoever. So now the sun comes up. They're tired. They're frustrated. And then they hear a voice call from the shore, which really gets them upset because this guy calls them children. "Children, have you caught anything to eat?" And it says in the Bible, they answered him, "No." See, the Bible won't really record everything they actually said, okay? So the Bible just says, "No." Well, the voice says, "Well, cast your net over the right side of the boat and you'll find something." Well, they have nothing to lose, and they do. And they cast the net over the right side, and the net is completely filled with fish. More than they had ever imagined. The net is almost tearing. It's filled with so many fish. Well, of course, then they remember. They remember the first time they had met the Lord, the same thing happened. And so this miracle reminds them of the previous miracle of the miraculous catch of fish. And then it says the first one that noticed it was Jesus was John, the beloved disciple, John the evangelist, the one whom Jesus loved. In fact, his statue is over here in this corner, John the evangelist. He was known for always being pure of heart. So realize it's always the pure of heart that see Christ. Remember, Jesus says, "Blessed are the pure of heart, for they shall see God." Not only in heaven in the beatific vision, but even in this world through the virtue of faith. Sometimes you'll meet people that say they've lost their faith. Teenagers, college kids, they say they lost their faith. 9 times out of 10, it's because first they've lost their purity of heart. They've gotten involved in immorality or looking at bad things or whatever. And because of that, they lose their faith. Their faith gets eroded. It gets corrupted. It's like looking out a window that has a film on it. Once that window is washed clean, what they need to do is to be pure of heart, to go back to confession. And once they are pure of heart, they'll again have their faith restored. Not only in this world, but they'll then, as Jesus says, they'll see God face to face one day. So John the Beloved sees Jesus. He says to Peter, "It is the Lord." Peter, being so impetuous, he can't wait for the boat to be rowed back into shore. So he just jumps in the water and begins to swim. And he gets out of the water. He's wet. He's cold. He goes over to Jesus. And there it is, the charcoal fire. The last time Peter had warmed himself by the fire, he had denied Christ three times. He swore up and down, "I do not even know the man." And now Jesus sets the stage for Peter's repentance and gives St. Peter the opportunity three times to express his love in reparation and repentance for his threefold denial. But right after Peter begins to warm himself, he goes back and plunges himself back into the sea, and then he pulls out the net with the large catch of fish. Obviously, that was too much for Peter to be with the Lord around the fire. And so he goes back and he pulls out the large catch of fish. And Scripture tells us it's 153 large fish. As you know, for centuries, the rosary was 153 Hail Marys. Hail Mary for faith, hope, and charity. And then the 15 decades of the rosary, there's 153 Hail Marys. I often thought that the rosary is our net that we use to catch souls. That's why we need to pray the rosary every day for your spouse, for your children, your grandchildren. That is the net, the unbreakable net, that you will bring souls to Christ through the rosary. And thanks be to God, we actually have 5 more decades. So now we have, instead of 153, we have 203 Hail Mary. So we have a bigger net now that we can use with the luminous mysteries to catch souls and bring them to Christ. So Peter pulls this large catch of fish, and after breakfast, Jesus gives St. Peter the opportunity to repent. And now he reinstates Peter as the first pope, the head of the church, as the chief shepherd of the flock. And he says to him, "Simon, son of John." He uses his official name, Simon Bar-Jonah. So this is very formal, this is very official. And Jesus says to him, "Do you love me more than these?" What do the word "these" stands for? These can represent more than the other apostles, more than these material possessions, more than these things. "Do you love me above all things?" Now, the word Jesus uses here in Greek in the New Testament is written in Greek. He says, "Do you love me with an agape love?" This is total, unconditional, sacrificial love. When Peter answers, he says, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." But Peter answers with the word philios in Greek, brotherly love. So Jesus asks him, "Peter, do you love me with total, unconditional love?" And Peter says, "Lord, I love you with a brotherly love." And then a second time, Jesus says, "Simon, son of John, do you love me with a total, unconditional love?" And Peter responds, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you with a brotherly love." And then the last time, he says, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" But this time, Jesus doesn't use the word agape. He uses the word philios. And he says, "Simon, son of John, do you even love me as a brother?" As a brother. And it says Peter was distressed that Jesus had asked him a third time, "Do you love me?" And he says, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you with a brotherly love." And Jesus said the third time, first he said, "Feed my lambs, then tend my sheep, then feed my sheep." And then Jesus says to him, "One day you will love me with a total, unconditional love." Because as you know, in the year 65 AD, St. Peter was crucified by Nero. And when Peter was being crucified on the cross, he said, "I am not worthy to die in the same manner as my Lord and Savior." So they turned Peter's cross upside down, and he was crucified upside down. You see that in the window. Those of you who are in the front section see the middle window, the keys of St. Peter with the upside down cross, reminding us that yes, in the year 65, Peter could say to Jesus, "I love you," with agape love, total, unconditional, sacrificial love. Now, how do we prove our love for Christ? Well, we do what He tells us. We feed His lambs, we tend our sheep, we feed our sheep. For priests, how we love Jesus as priests is to take care of the flock, to take care, to be the shepherd, a pastor of the flock entrusted to our care. You as parents, you're called to tend your lambs, to feed your sheep. That means you protect them from evil. You teach your children the faith to know and love God. You teach them the Bible. You teach them the teachings of Christ and the church. That's how you show your love for Jesus, is by tending your sheep, feeding your lambs. So in other words, taking care of others, to be concerned about others. That's how we prove our love for Christ. So basically, from this gospel, I think the lessons we can learn, number one, without Christ, we can do nothing. Without Christ, we have nothing, we're empty. But if we listen to Christ, obey His word, and do what He wants us to do, if we do His will, the apostles threw the net on the right side of the boat, they were obedient, they listened, they did God's will, they caught everything. And so we can learn that. We can also learn from this gospel, it is the pure of heart that see Christ. We also see in this gospel reparation. That even though Peter sinned the mortal sin three times of denying Christ, Jesus gave him a chance. And three times gave him a chance for reparation and love. And so today Jesus asks us, do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than material possessions? Do you love me more than anything? Jesus says. And so in other words, Jesus is concerned about our love. He wants our love. He asked Peter, "Do you love me?" He asked each of us, "Do we love Him?" How do we prove our love of God? See, Jesus cares if we go to Mass every Sunday. He cares if we visit Him in the Blessed Sacrament, in the Adoration Chapel. He cares if we can go to daily Mass and can try to do that. See, Jesus cares. He cares, and He wants us to love Him.